like to draw your attention, if I may, to the scripture that we have for us today, coming from the Gospel of John in the 10th chapter. Jesus once called the Pharisees whitewashed sepulchers. A sepulcher is a grave. And if you had enough money after you died and you were put in a tomb to doll up your grave, they would paint it white. That's a whitewashed sepulcher. Okay? Jesus was not a passive person. He's not a wimpy kind of person. He knew how to stand his ground, and yet at the same time, he did so without judgment. This is a major distinction here between discernment and judgment. Because in the second line of this text, you read that Jesus is talking about thieves and bandits. That is not a statement about the Jewish faith. That is a statement about some of the Jewish leaders who were trying to undermine his ministry. And he takes them to task here as well as later. Let's look to the word of God. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy." Here's a memory verse for you. John 10:10. Every day at 10 minutes after 10, I try to remember this verse. That's just my little way of getting into this verse. "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Shall we pray? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, let them be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our redeemer. And if we cannot hear your words through the words of humankind, then speak to each of us in the quietness of our own hearts. Amen. I was thrilled when the phone rang and a family of this church invited me to dinner. That's a good thing. I really look forward to it. But when I arrived at their driveway, there was this gate. And it occurred to me that one question I haven't asked was, how do I actually get into your house? Here's this gate, not exactly like I was going to jump over it, but there was a keypad that was there. So through the marvels of cellular technology, I picked up my cell phone and called the folks and said, "How in the heck do I get into your house?" And then they gave me the code. And when I put in the code, I actually got to go in the house. And by the way, the dinner was great. A gate. Why do people put gates in front of their house? Well, some might say to keep certain people out. But the other side of it is to let the right people in. You have a home, you want to protect your home. That's the most natural thing in the world. That's kind of holy ground. It's a place where you live and love and take care of other people, where you find a sense of identity and belonging. We want to protect our homes. That's the most natural thing on the planet Earth. But imagine a home that is so safe that your pastor can't get there to eat. There's a problem. When we're so mindful of protecting who we are, there's no way to have access. And if we build a home that nobody can get into, that might include you, too. And who wants to live in a house where there's not a way out? Or as it says in the scripture here, where the sheep can go out and find pasture. Jesus here refers to the good shepherd. And the shepherd in this story, if you kind of look at it and kind of zero in on it, you have to be aware of the fact that a shepherd at night would put the sheep in a canyon or a cave, find some place where the animals out there in the world could not get to them, and what they would do is they would lie down and form a human gate. The idea, once again, is that the sheep can remain safe. At the same time, if there are wild animals from the outside that would come and do harm to the sheep, they have to go over the shepherd to get to the sheep. Jesus uses this analogy, if you would, with these thieves and bandits, the people who would deny who Jesus is and what Jesus came to accomplish. And you'll notice that Jesus is very clear as he speaks to those who oppose him. But I want to make sure we catch this part. He did not do it with judgment. Nowhere in the Gospels do you find Jesus in the role of judge. That was not his mission. That was not his purpose. And I underscore that because sometimes when we talk to other people who are outside our faith, we think somehow we're promoted to God and we can judge. There are verses in the Bible like John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is a testimony of Jesus to who he is, what he was called to do, to lay down his life for his sheep. He never backed down from that. But the idea of taking this verse and somehow twisting that and making it like it's a weapon against other people, that if you do not profess your faith as I don't profess my faith, that somehow that gives me permission to judge you, is not Christian. Isn't that kind of odd? That people could take the very words of Jesus and weaponize them against other people. Do we speak to people who are outside our faith? Obviously so. Do we say we are convinced that Jesus is exactly who he is? Yes, we do. That's what we're called to do as Christians. We have a testimony to share to the world. We believe that what we know in God, that Jesus is the clearest demonstration of who God is and what God wants for this world. But there were people who thought that Moses was the gate because he promised a new land. People thought that David was the gate so they could have a Davidic king. But now Jesus comes and he says to them, that was faithful then, it's faithful now. But you need to understand what God is doing before your very eyes. And he wouldn't back down. There is something unique about the Christian faith. There is no other world religion that talks about having the same relationship with God that Jesus talked about. None. Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, take anything you want. None of them ever had a direct relationship with God in the way that Jesus talks about himself, where we as followers have the same relationship with God as he does. That is unique. No other religion can say that. None. But just because it's unique does not mean that we get to play judge. Are you with me? That somehow we don't have that obligation to lay down our lives so that others get to know what the grace of God really looks like. And isn't it amazing when people are actually listening, you can talk to them heart to heart. But when you're yelling and screaming and telling each other going to infernal regions, it's not the same thing. This last week, I was taking my walk, and I walked by this house, and I saw this big truck that was out there, and they were loading this huge bounce house. It was awesome. This thing was huge. It was as long as the altar here is before. So I saw the guy outside, the man who lived there, and I said, you know, what are you doing with this bounce house? You know, he said, we're having a birthday party for our kids. I said, oh, that is really great. They're really going to love you. So, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. Our kids will be ecstatic. Well, it just so happened later in the week, I had a chance to see that same person and have a conversation with him. I said, how'd it go with the bounce house? He said, well, when we put that thing out there, it was for our kids. But every kid in the neighborhood saw that bounce house. And they all came over. And our kids thought they were stud prima donnas as they were inviting everybody else to come and enjoy their bounce house. Wow. Sharing, giving, kindness, consideration, accessibility to grace is what Jesus was all about. That's who he was. That's how he lived. That's how he died. How do we as God's people not see that and choose to live that way? If we say we follow him, isn't that the example that we should be following? Many of you have heard already about this Brown County Home Solutions. The month of May, we're trying to fill those baskets that are out there in the narthex. They're both at both ends. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the insert in your bulletin there, but you'll see some items that are listed there. And I'm hoping that the next time you go to the grocery store, you take that with you and begin to think about other people who have needs for food and basic needs of hygiene and other issues. What would it mean for us to do that as a church and fill those carts and then take it along with the other churches in the West District that are doing that and make a statement of grace? Is that who we are? Yeah. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's our task. Shall we pray? Oh God, we love our homes. And we love to protect our homes, but sometimes we're inclined to stay in our homes. And we forget that Jesus came to give access to those outside so that they would have an experience of grace, know firsthand of your love, to know the forgiveness of sin and the grace that empowers discipleship. We pray, oh God, for our church, that we would begin to see our parish, our community as you do, and that we would learn to live like Christ without judgment, but offering grace. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.